وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين يا رب العالمين. بارك الله فيك حضرت مولانا. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise you in rank and shower his choicest blessings on you and your family. آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al-Ansar International, we've been sharing some stories with you which can have some profound meaning and inshallah this can impact our lives. Here is a story about the hare and the tortoise. We may have heard it, you know, in our school days, but there's a slight twist to this one here, and inshallah we'll try and explain to you the morals of the story. So once upon a time, a tortoise and a hare had an argument about who was faster. The tortoise was confident, and the hare also was confident. So they decided to settle the argument with a race. So they agreed on a route, and they started the race. So the hare shot ahead and ran briskly for some time. Then seeing that he was far ahead of the tortoise, he thought he'd sit under a tree for some time and relax before continuing the race. A complacency. So he sat under the tree and soon fell asleep. So the tortoise, plodding on, overtook him and soon finished the race, emerging as the undisputed champ and winner. So the hare woke up and realized that he had lost the race. So what is the moral of the story? Slow and steady wins the race. So the hare was disappointed at losing the race, and he did some soul searching. He realized that he'd lost the race only because he had been overconfident, careless, and lax. And how many times don't we lose out in life because we are overconfident, we're careless, and relaxed? So if he had not taken things for granted, there's no way the tortoise could have beaten him. So he challenged the tortoise to another race. So the tortoise agreed. So this time the hare went all out and ran without stopping from start to finish. He won by several miles. Fast and consistent always beats the slow and the steady. So here's something else. Those who are consistent and those who are fast, they beat those who are slow and steady. So there's another lesson we learn. But the story doesn't end here. The tortoise did some thinking this time and realized that there's no way he could beat the hare in a race the way it was currently formatted. So he thought for a while and then challenged the hare to another race, but on a slightly different route. So the hare agreed. So they started off. So in keeping with his self-made commitment to be consistently fast, the hare took off and ran at top speed until he came to a broad river. So the finishing line was a couple of kilometers on the other side of the river. So the hare sat there wondering what to do. In the meantime, the tortoise came, trundled along, got into the river, swam to the opposite bank, continued walking and finished the race. So now, here's a lesson we learn again. Only challenge in a field where you can compete, right? And this wasn't an open, clear field, and the hare couldn't cross that river, whereas the tortoise could. So the moral of the story is, only challenge in a field where you can compete. So the hare and the tortoise by this time had become pretty good friends, and they did some thinking together, and both realized that the last race could have been run much better. So they decided to do the last race again, but to run as a team this time. So they started off, and this time the hare carried the tortoise till the riverbank. There the tortoise took over and swam across with the hare on his back. On the opposite bank, the hare again carried the tortoise, and they reached the finishing line together. So they both felt a greater sense of satisfaction than they'd felt earlier. So now what does it teach you here? Collaboration is better than competition. Working in harmony with one another is better than just competing with one another. So there are more lessons to be learned from the story. So remember here that neither the hare nor the tortoise gave up after their failures. And the hare decided to work harder and put in some more effort after his failure. And the tortoise changed his strategy because he was already working at his peak as hard as he could. So in life, when we're faced with failure, sometimes it is appropriate to work harder and put in more effort. And sometimes it is appropriate to change strategy and try something different. And sometimes it is appropriate to do both. So follow the right way, and follow the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. We have the perfect example in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we don't have to emulate anybody and go onto the wrong path. If we follow the right path, and we follow that, the path of Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, we will be rightly guided. And if we follow the path that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, then Allah will be pleased with us. So you must remember that there are two directions, you know. I think it's the scalar direction and the vector direction. Now, how do these directions work? That at the beginning, if you set yourself on a course and the line is straight, no matter how slow you may be, even like the tortoise, eventually you will reach your destination. But at the beginning point, if you have veered off 1 degree from the right path, right? Now you're no longer on Sirati Mustaqim. And if you continue and continue and continue, the further you go, the distance will become wider, and then you will not be on the right direction. So let us try and be on the right direction, even though we will be a little bit slow, but to be fast on the right direction is even better. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the noble Quran, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, and run towards Allah. And the direction must be right. And then, like, direction is towards Allah, then we will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was an interesting story that we had learned from the tortoise and the hare. Now we're going to just switch over to some non-Muslims, what they say about our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's many of them, but some famous ones that you may have heard their names. Mahatma Gandhi, his statement was published in Young India in 1924. That's about 100 years back, you know. He said, I wanted to know the best of the life of one who holds today an undisputed sway over the hearts of millions of mankind. So over 1.5 billion Muslims. So I became more than ever convinced that it was not the sword that won a place for Islam in those days in the scheme of life. You know, many people try and pass the wrong judgment to say that Islam was spread with the power of the sword. I mean, that could never ever have happened if so many people in so many countries in the world so willingly accepted Islam. There must have been something else to it. So it was the rigid simplicity, the utter self-effacement of the Prophet, the scrupulous regard for pledges, his intense devotion to his friends and followers, his fearlessness, his absolute trust in God, in Allah, and in his own mission. So in the space of 23 years, if we look at it, what Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acquired can leave mankind, you know, dumbfound, and they'll be absolutely amazed. And if we look at our country in a space of more than 23 years, you know, since the transition, we find that our country has gone from bad to worse. So you can see what Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did in the lives of those Sahaba Ikram. They say that it was easy to have turned rocks into stones, to water, but to have changed the hearts of those people, it was very, very difficult. But coming amongst those pagan Arabs, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam created an ummah of Sahaba that great later went on and they conquered the world. So now we carry on with what Mahatma Gandhi says. He says, "These and not the sword carried everything before them and surmounted every obstacle." So when I closed the second volume of the Prophet's biography, I was sorry there was not much more for me to read of that great life, that personality. Michael Hart, in the 100th ranking of the most influential people in history, in New York, book published in 1978. He says, "My choice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lead the list of the world's most influential persons may surprise some readers and may be questioned by others, but he was the only man in history who was supremely successful on both the secular and religious level. It is probable that the relative influence of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Islam has been larger than the combined influence of Jesus Christ and Saint Paul on Christianity. It is this unparalleled combination of secular and religious influence which I feel entitles Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be considered the most influential single figure in human history." And there are others who still say that you know, every leader in the world acquired his education at the hands of another teacher or a master. But Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the unlettered prophet, he was an ummi, and he was the most intelligent person in the world and the greatest in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhirin, Imamul Anbiya. And he never ever acquired, you know, any knowledge at the hands of individuals. It was directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Then there's another person, he spoke about, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, W.H. Stab. A name that will just keep you thinking anyway. "Judged by the smallness of the means at his disposal and the extent and permanence of the work that he accomplished, his name in world's history shines with a more special luster than that of anybody else. To the impulse which he gave, numberless dynasties have owned their existence. Fair cities and stately places," and he writes temples, but we will say masjids, "have arisen, and wide provinces became obedient to the faith. And beyond all this, his words have governed the belief of generations." You know, Rasulullah Pak Sallam spoke small sentences, but it has such a great meaning. And it's been accepted as a rule of life and a certain guide to the world to come. At a thousand shrines, or at a thousand masjids, you may say, you know, the voices of the faithful invoke blessings on him. There's so many people. Today is the day of Jumu'ah, and so many people are saying Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we must all engage in durood in abundance on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says, so the voices of the faithful invoke blessings on him, whom they esteem the very Prophet of God, Prophet of Allah, the seal of the apostles. The non-Muslim is also acknowledging that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the seal of the Prophets. And people like Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, I mean, you can just imagine, they oppose this particular aspect which the non-Muslims testify to. "So judged by the standards to human renown, the glory of what mortal can compare with that of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So Stanley Lane Poole, in Studies in the Mosque, he says, "He was one of those happy few who have attained the supreme joy of making one great truth their very life spring. He was a messenger of one Allah, One God, he says, and never to his life's end did he forget who he was or the message which was the marrow of his being. He brought his tidings to his people with a grand dignity sprung from the consciousness of his high office, together with a most sweet humility. Then Rodwell, in the preface to his translation of the Quran, he writes, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's career is a wonderful instance of the force and life that resides in him who possesses an intense faith in God, in Allah, and in the unseen world. He will always be regarded as one of those who have had that influence over the faith, morals, and whole earthly lives of their fellow men, which none but a really great man ever did or can exercise, and whose efforts to propagate a great verity will prosper. So your adversary, your enemies, you know, or those who don't profess to believe in you, if they speak great about you, you know, that speaks volumes for itself. So alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us with being amongst the ummati of our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We must try and emulate our Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and send abundant durood on our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.